Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We are excited to present on a very exciting topic around AI. So the future of AI or artificial intelligence in home-based care, navigating the present and charting the path ahead. With us today, we have two exceptional product leads, Jessica Rockney, who focuses on home health and hospice specifically, and Daniel Zhu, who focuses on data analytics and AI and ML. So I'd like to quickly introduce Jessica. She is our director of product strategy and has been in the post-acute space for over 13, 14 years. And she's actually worked within home health and hospice organizations as business director. So she's been on both sides of that fence. And she's now been on the software side for several years and works with strategy for driving innovation into the home-based market, focusing on increased regulatory oversight, changes in reimbursement landscapes, impact of public health emergency, all the things you guys deal with every day. And she spends her days trying to help make that easier for you. Daniel comes from a diverse background of clinical and technology experience. He did spend 5 years in clinical research roles with Alberta Health System and the University of Toronto Health Network. He has diverted his attention into technology solutions to optimize the healthcare practice. He's leading engineering teams, product teams, founded his own natural language processing startup in clinical research, and has now stepped away from the startup world and focuses within the Matrix Care world. I am excited to introduce them and look at our agenda. So we're going to talk about defining and understanding the current applications of AI in the home, identify key challenges and opportunities associated with the integration of AI in home health and hospice, examining possible ways that AI can be adopted into home health and hospice care, and envision the future possibilities of AI-driven innovations in home health and hospice care. Our agenda does talk a little bit about what is AI, some AI use cases in the home, and the future of intelligence in care at home, and then key takeaways. I'm going to turn it over to Daniel.
Thanks, Melissa. And to get us started today, I'm going to go over what is AI. So AI can be broadly defined as anything built by people to mimic human intelligence. Unfortunately, that definition is a little bit ambiguous. I would like to redefine it as any system that uses available information to help with any specific task, that is artificial intelligence. A lot of people have different kind of understandings of AI. They picture self-driving cars, ChatGPT, Alexa, or Google Home. But in truth, AI systems can be as simple as a calculator because it takes into consideration the numbers you give it. So that's available information, the processes that are predefined. So this is addition, subtraction, multiplication, and then gives you a completes the task and gives you a result back. Generally, that can also be defined as the classical sense of artificial intelligence. What we'll see is a subset of AI called machine learning. This is a specialized type of system that uses available data and then generates its own rules to complete a predefined task. Modern day AI is actually generally referring to machine learning, and there's a variety of different examples that everyone is already using. So for example, on Google search, there's autocomplete. It uses the combination of all the past search queries that you've done in Google, as well as what other people have entered in your location, similar to you in terms of demographics, and then generates what are possible answers that you're looking for under the Google system. This is commonly referred to as machine learning and what a lot of people refer to as AI in modern day and age. How machine learning does that is through drawing patterns. So this is a very rough example. Usually there's a pattern or a trend within the data, and machine learning identifies the best fit for those patterns in a much more complicated way, but then builds the best pattern and taking into consideration all the different information points to generate a best guess. And that is the answer that it provides. And then finally, I couldn't kind of jump over this section without mentioning large language models. These are, again, a specialized subset of machine learning models that uses complex information from linguistic data. So language data, like paragraphs, vocal data, songs, and so forth, to generate complex rules and interactions for purposely used to generate answers in terms of linguistic, and that is large language models, commonly found in systems like ChatGPT. We have to quickly go over what AI is good at, because AI is not always good at or good for every single task at your organization. For example, AI is good at processing large amounts of data, come to a conclusion whenever there is a specific set of rules already there. That is called robotic process automation. It's kind of like automating a lot of your tasks using strict rules that you predefine. That's what AI is really good at. Secondly, there's also other ones when there's predictions you need to generate from large sets of data when there isn't very clear rules. So you're not exactly sure how one set of data correlates to a result, but you believe or you hypothesize that there's a relationship there, then you can use something called machine learning, right? And then finally, when you want to actually see the patterns in complex data, not just get the results, machine learning is also very useful there. What does that mean for us? So we asked the general population of healthcare providers whether or not they believe AI can improve patient outcomes. And it's no surprise that pretty much, I think it was 75% of all respondents responded positively and believed that in some way AI can improve patient outcomes, which is very significant. In addition to this, you'll see that we also asked how confident people are in the results and accuracy of AI systems. And again, generally, everybody is fairly confident that AI can be used successfully and that it's very accurate in completing its task. Even though we see all this outstanding positive responses, at the same time, when we asked how confident are the current operators using AI, unfortunately, a majority of healthcare providers and operators responded that no, they currently do not have plans, and no, they're currently not implementing AI. A lot of this is, the notes came back, and a lot of this is legal and regulatory uncertainty in terms of, hey, how are AI systems regulated in healthcare? Is it really complex to implement these technologies? Because AI feels like it's a very complex system. And then finally, is it really complex? And do you need specialists on your team in order to successfully use this technology? Hopefully on today's conversation, as we move to the AI use cases at home today, we'll show you that it's not really complex. Jessica, you want to take it away?
Great. Thank you so much. So as we think about AI in care at home, we're looking to drive efficiency and effectiveness in a staffing constrained landscape. We know that you have staff that are driving from patient to patient, and they're also going home at night and documenting. How can we use some of this technology to decrease the amount of time spent there? This is a data-rich environment, and it includes information from the patient's past medical history. How can we leverage all of the information out there on health exchange networks and Commonwealth to provide a view of the patient's condition to help drive the quality of care and improve outcomes for the patient? We know that the providers are a little bit nervous and cautious about adapting this technology. And so a lot of the focus as we bring in new solutions is going to be around testing the hypothesis, making sure that we're not overwhelming the clinician or staff with too much information that can't be used. And so as we go through some of the solutions here, some of the concepts, keep in mind that that is going to be a key piece to what we're focusing on. I'd like to start with a use case example. And in this example, I've taken just a clinician that had two visits. Now, while this clinician is getting ready to see the patient, there's a lot of information they need to go through and learn about the patient, specifically for the start of care. If I get a brand new patient, I might have an 83-page history and physical. I might also have some information from a previous hospitalization or the physician's face-to-face visit note with additional information. I've got to read through all of the documentation, identify which medications the patient is on. And I might also have tools in my EMR that go out and look for the medications that are available. A lot of data for me to comb through just to get an idea of who my patient is. Now, in a staffing constrained world, that is also the case for revisit. You might have PRN staff and you're picking up a visit for a patient that you've never seen before. And you're going to be going through a similar process to get to know the patient. At the same time, you're going to be planning driving directions, thinking about, you know, do I need to drop off a lab? Do I need to collect blood? Are there any other stops along the way that I need to prepare for my day? The next thing is you'll be driving. So there's a lot of time spent in the car. How can we best utilize that by different technologies that are out there? And then, of course, you have the start of care visit. While you're here taking care of the patient, a lot of times you don't want to be sitting and documenting on an EMR. How can we collect the information verbally, the conversation between the patient, the family, and the clinician to capture some of that information and use that in the documentation later on. Next, that clinician is going to a different patient, a different visit. And this again might be another patient that they've never seen before. How can I use that time driving to learn about the patient, understand the patient that I'm seeing? And before I get into the home, is there anything I need to know? Can AI or machine learning read off to me what's going on with the patient? And then at the end of the day, if I decide to finish all of my documentation, how can AI or machine learning take the information that it's learned from my conversations with the patient and also with the patient record, past medical history, history and physical, face-to-face visit note from the physician? How can it take that information and help me develop a care plan to understand the patient? These are the things that we're looking at AI to solve. So first, Daniel talked a lot about data, all of that data-rich environment, and we have this data in our EMRs today. We also have this in the Health Exchange Network, as I mentioned. So that could look like the hospital discharge summary. It could be a PDF. It could be the visit note from the physician. And how do we capture that information, consolidate it in one summary with the source of information where that came from? A lot of times you're getting orders from different physicians, from different hospital systems. There's no consistency how you receive those. How can we use machine learning to quickly identify what that patient has and present them in a way that's easily readable? So taking something like this patient has been referred to home health for physical therapy and summarizing from the face-to-face with their homebound status, things like that. Next, we have a medication list. You'll get a medication list, certainly from the discharge orders from a hospital or from a skilled nursing facility. You might have information elsewhere as well. How can we consolidate all of the orders, identify the duplicates, remove the duplicates, and present the clinician with a list of medications to review with the patient? And then how can we easily get that medication into the patient record? For home health, diagnosis codes from the patient history are going to be critical to get the most out of your PDGM payment. And how can we present those diagnosis codes from the patient's history in a manner that's easily to identify and code with? By using AI and machine learning, we can streamline this visit preparation. We can reduce the time spent reviewing the patient prior to visits and potentially even use the time driving to listen to that summary. Tell me about the patient. Medications and diagnoses will be in one place and simplified for the clinician to see and potentially import into the patient record. And they can normalize the orders and the face-to-face details. What this also leads to is less errors and more consistent information about the patient. This could look like reducing data entry errors, keying medications or other information into your EMR, identifying documents that might be attached to the wrong record. Overall, this will increase clinician satisfaction, and the patient will have confidence in knowing that their clinician or their nurse or a physical therapist knows their condition. This in turn will create a positive impact on profitability, decrease labor costs per patient, hopefully increased impact in your revenue with access to all relevant diagnosis codes for coding. Now, what does this mean as we go forward instead of just using this information and summarizing, that certainly helps with knowing the patient, getting the information from the patient's history into the EMR. But what can we do with that later on? By having all of this patient medical history, maybe two or three reasons why the patient has been hospitalized in the past, we can assess the patient for the risk for any rehospitalization. They might be on service with you for a hip replacement and with therapy. But if you have insight into the fact that that patient had a COPD exacerbation 3 months ago, it's important information for you to have at your fingertips and helps you create a care plan for the patient that helps reduce the risk of hospitalization. Fall risk, all of the information, again, from that patient's history, along with the assessment, medications, diagnoses, all play into the risk of falls to let the clinician know when this patient is in an increased risk for falls. And finally, personalized care plans for the patient, ensuring that the care that we provide for the patient is very specific to their needs. So next, what does the future of intelligence in care at home look like? So first, intelligent voice activated documentation. System can listen to the conversation and document what care is being given. Then that eliminates the need for keying in information. There's also the possibility of using advanced interactive in-home remote safety monitoring, and that could look anything from telemonitoring to devices and how do those integrate into the EMR. Virtual team admission and discharge capabilities. Where does this patient go after us? How do we continue to see the patient, monitor any changes in condition? How can we alert changes in condition to the appropriate stakeholders? And again, any activity that is in the home, how can we capture that information and deliver it to the people who can address those things? So tasks, trends analysis, and then finally, of course, clinical decision support. Key takeaways for this. And Daniel, do you want to cover key takeaways?
Yeah, of course. On a high level, AI ML is a system that uses all the available information in your EMR or anything you enter it to help with a specific task or challenge. Overall, the modern AI systems already help with many different tasks in your healthcare operation, such as patient condition surveillance, as well as other kind of robotic processes that automate and streamline the processes for your team members. Future systems, like Jessica mentioned, have the ability to permeate even more workflows and ultimately allow caregivers to spend more time giving care to more patients rather than spending time working in systems and platforms. At the end of the day, they should fit in seamlessly with the workflow and alleviate what are the current pain points in working with technology rather than add anything there. Those are our key takeaways.
Yes, thank you. I first wanted to take a few questions to dig into these topics a little bit deeper. So Jessica, I'm going to start with you. How can AI technologies be applied to enhance the quality and effectiveness of home-based care for patients with chronic illnesses or elderly individuals requiring assistance? I know you touched on a few things there, some examples. So maybe let's just dive in a little bit more.
Sure. So as patients are in their home, especially with chronic illnesses, you know, a lot of times staff is really only seeing what is wrong with the patient at that point. To get a holistic view of the patient and be able to address those chronic issues while in the home will ultimately lead to the improved outcomes of the patient, but also a potential referral to other programs. So if home health agencies have a palliative care program, we might identify that the patient has a chronic illness that would benefit from some of those services. And then, of course, potentially moving that patient from home health into hospice. Machine learning and AI has the capability to identify those patients, alert the clinician that, hey, maybe it's time for hospice given nature of their chronic illness and any other issues.
Excellent. Thank you, Jessica. I just was on a HIPAA webinar discussing AI. How can you notify users that they are using AI? The EHR companies update your business associate agreements with companies in regards to AI. They're saying we will need to notify the patients and have their consent in order to enter their data into a program that uses AI. Daniel, I think if you can answer that.
Yeah, I could take that one for sure. All of MatrixCare is working under close scrutiny with regulatory bodies. So we definitely work closely with the different organizations just to make sure that we're following all regulatory constraints. There's a lot of different layers to AI, like I mentioned in the start, depending on where you kind of want to draw the line as to, hey, this is when you have to do the notification, this is when you don't, as well as what type of data you're putting into the AI systems. That all matters because depending on the answers for each of the different components of what you're using in terms of AI and what data you're putting into AI, the answer is very different for regulatory. And we are fully aware of all the different steps required. And if there's ever a time when we need to actually notify, or we need to kind of let the team members know, let the healthcare operators know that the system is using an advanced enough AI that we need to kind of start rewriting some of our business associate agreements, we will definitely certainly cross that bridge when we get there. But on a high level, the AI systems we use right now are designed specifically not to kind of impede or step on any of the regulatory challenges and regulatory rules out there right now. I hope that answers your question.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Daniel. Jessica, how is the drive used for visit preparation? It could be seen as a distraction.
Sure. So we see the drive as really time for you to listen to the patient. So just as you listen to books on tape or you listen to a podcast, this would be really listening about the patient summary. Tell me about Jane Doe. What are her current medications? Tell me what the clinical summary about this patient is. So not so much actually speaking about the patient and trying to think of, okay, how did I assess this patient? And do I need to get that into the clinical record? More of a time to really use that drive to get to understand the patient.
Excellent. Thank you. Daniel, when looking at potential AI-driven solutions for remote monitoring and early detection of health issues in home-based care, how can these technologies improve patient safety and reduce hospital readmissions?
Wow, this is a big question. There's so many different ways that AI and AI devices right now out there can reduce hospitalization, reduce risk for all of our patients. It's all up to the patient appetite. For example, there's some certain devices right now that can monitor patient movement and monitor patient kind of trends in their movement and patterns in their footsteps and the way that they're moving around and mobility in general. That's been proven to reduce falls. One of the most kind of scary things in all of senior care, right? And that technology nowadays, as long as the patients are willing to have some of these sensors in their home, can significantly reduce falls. Not only that, but there's other technologies that monitor how often the patient goes to the bathroom, as well as technologies, if the patients are willing as well, that monitor what their food is, what their nutritious value of their food and meals are. There's a lot of different technologies out there. I think it's all about the appetite of the patients. Even if you think about some of the wearable technologies out there, right? You know, the new smartwatches that monitor patient conditions, those technologies, the data that they gather have shown to significantly improve outcomes and provide early warnings for certain conditions as well. I think it's only going to expand the type of technologies out there, but there's so many different areas that these technologies will impact to reduce these severe events and help improve patient conditions.
Excellent. Thank you. I think that is another one of the things that are top of mind for everyone with value-based care, you know, patient safety, number one, but also reducing those hospital readmits. So thank you for that. I do think we're just going to see a continuous influx of these types of technologies. I think you already addressed privacy and security. How can AI-driven decision support tools assist caregivers and healthcare professionals in tailoring care plans, predicting patient needs, and ensuring that care is provided in a timely and efficient manner?
That's, again, another very loaded question as well, because clinical decision support is such a broad topic in AI as well. It can be something as simple as making sure it gathers all the right documentation. So going through the EMR, gathering all the right pieces of information so that a clinical provider, healthcare provider, can go ahead and review that information and make their decisions and complete their work. To certain things are as complex as being able to suggest when a possible diagnosis is happening or a possible condition is occurring. And of course, there's always a clinician in the loop. Shouldn't expect AI to suddenly take a leap forward where it's able to make decisions on its own, but it's always about the support of making decisions, right? So from gathering documentation to suggesting possible conditions based off of the combination of data that's available in the EMR, endless ways that clinical AI can improve clinical decision support for sure.
Excellent. Jessica, what are the challenges and opportunities for integrating AI into the existing home-based care ecosystem, including caregiver training, patient engagement, and collaboration with healthcare providers to create a seamless and effective care continuum?
Sure. So I think the answer is almost in the question, is seamless and effective. Certainly, there are lots of tools out there. And today, there are lots of tools that provide a dashboard for some of this information. But how can we get that information in front of the person who is going to be performing the visit when it's timely and when it's going to change the outcome of that clinician's service to the patient in the home? So I think, you know, as we're looking at integrating these type of features, it can't just be some solution that's separate, that somebody accesses, you know, a web application, and I, as the clinical manager, go tell you, hey, by the way, your patient has a fall risk. It needs to be timely and it needs to be meaningful to the person who's going to be using that information. So I think that's the biggest challenge that we're going to see, is that there'll be lots of options, but they're all done after the fact instead of at the point of care or when that clinician is going to use the information.
Thank you. Perfect. I think we have one more. How can we as clinicians help patients feel comfortable with AI tech, especially with the ongoing struggles in society, RE acceptance? Will there be additional training for clinicians regarding AI and tech services? I think that's going to depend on your technology company too, but Jessica, I'll let you.
Yeah, that's a great question. A really great question. And I think as we develop tools like this, we're going to have to keep that in mind on how we train caregivers, clinicians on most effective way to approach this conversation with patients. And I think the focus there is going to be on quality and improving their outcomes and keeping them independent in the home, which is what really home health is all about.
Well, I think that covered all of the questions. Thank you guys for participating. This is such a topic of interest, and we look forward to seeing you guys on our next webinar.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.